I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad, and I really just want to talk about the city school situation. You know, my esteemed colleague, Dr. K, who has been doing a fantastic job just really getting involved in this whole conversation, taking the conversation to the next level. And one of the things that I've always thought that I should understand and take note of is being a student of how to lead people. I have been blessed to be surrounded by great leaders, to come in contact with them, to study them, to learn from them, to really understand what leadership is truly all about. And I know that some folks think that it's critical, but it's not critical in the sense of if you understand that leadership is a reflection of the people. So if the people are not in tune with their values, if the people are not in tune with what's important to them, if the people are not in tune with their responsibilities and roles, then guess what? The leadership that comes from out of the people will be a reflection of that lack. That's what we were seeing. And so when we talk about what's happening with the school situation, the biggest thing that comes out for me is the fact that you truly got black folks in leadership role and not necessarily black leadership. Black folks who just fill in the position, but not thinking in the best interest of the community. And not even just being black and white. Let's take it a step further. We got people who are making the decisions, but not considering. Here's the big thing about leadership. Leadership is having an understanding or consideration, but not considering what's in the best interest of those who are impacted the most. And that's the issue. With the schools, we are at this place where we are now having folks that are in charge of the welfare of our students emotionally, socially, and educationally, right? Because in your schools, you're touching on all different components of the child. But if the leader feels a certain way, just like I read the story of Councilman Zeke Cohen's interaction with the student, where the student told the councilman, the schools look like prisons. So how do you expect us to act? How do you expect us to be if we are going to a place that reminds them of a prison, that looks like a prison, that feels like a prison? And they're just talking about the way schools physically look, right? The infrastructure. And sometimes it could be some of the attitudes that students are having with each other, with teachers and whatnot. But I think that this crisis moment that we're in is a reminder that you cannot lead people if you don't have love for the people, if your heart is not with those who you are said that you are in leading, who you are in charge of. If you can't, and I heard the minister say it one time, that your love has to overwhelm, has to be greater than the hatred that we have for ourselves. That's how you serve. And I'm just saying, in general, and specifically black people, your love has to be greater than the hate that we have for ourselves. So even though we may not come across as being, quote unquote, the most respectful, does that take away the human dignity of parents who are frustrated? Does that take away from the pain that parents have to come to the realization that the schools that they have gone through, the schools that we have been conditioned to believe and trust, to believe and trust in, the schools who we have always been taught has our best interest at heart, when the school system, when those in leadership of the school system reflect a different reality, that's a very, very jarring, disturbing break from what we have been taught. So the idea, and I know folks, the school board commissioners, the CEO of public schools, you might say, well, look, it's no heat. But last night you heard parents not necessarily just talking about the school and talking about all of the issues and challenges that both teachers and students are facing. But you ain't listening to a constituency that have been tired, and the constituency, most importantly, who are now coming into the realization that all that they have been taught and all that we have been taught to believe, all that we have been taught to think about schooling, it may just be a lie. That if you go to school, school is a safe place. School is a place where there's going to be learning. School is the place where there's cultivation of the mind, body, and spirit. School is the place for development. School is the place for growth. All of these things. And now there's a different reality that is disturbing the peace of mind that we once had about schools, because the leadership has shown that their view of schools is more based upon management of problems, not changing, not fixing, management of problems. See, we can't talk about being a leader and then you are managing. And that's the problem. You're in leadership roles, but your leadership is only based on management. It's not based on changing. It's not based on innovation. It's not based upon resolving anything. It's not based upon addressing anything. It's just managing. And then you collect these big checks. But then we're told we don't have any money. But the money that we were given wasn't used properly and had to be given back, and all of this going back and forth between the city and the state. See, when the city and the state leadership go into this quarrel, guess who loses out? We always say, well, think about the children. I'm saying think about the children and the parents and the community, because now you are showing your ineptitude, your inadequacy to be able to lead in a time where we want you to lead. But how can we place our faith in you if your leadership is showing that time and time again, you are making decisions that are not in the best interest of the people? This ain't about a beat up session. This is not even about finger pointing, but I want us to recognize. And I'm saying to those leaders or those individuals who are making those in those leadership roles, right? And you are deemed in making certain decisions on the behalf of not just yourself or your family, but on the behalf of the whole of the 83,000 and students. And then when you make a decision on a behalf of 83 or so thousand students, you have to also think about the families of those 83,000 students. When you make those very, very short-sighted decisions, you put these Band-Aid approaches on gashing wounds type of decisions. The town hall meeting was already scheduled before the meeting, the regular quote-unquote business meetings was started. The town hall was already scheduled. How are you going to have a place, a date, a time, and a venue? It wasn't like the people came, you say, okay, hold up, everybody. Look, we're going to try to work something out. We'll send out an email. We'll try to see if we can get a... No, it was like, nope, your form is on January 22nd at Dunbar from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. That's where we want to hear you. Otherwise, we're taking care of regular business. The regular business is the affairs of children. It's the affairs of people. The regular business is the assurance that you know what the hell you're doing. That's the business. And since we don't know, we can't, it's hard for us based upon not hearsay, not just, what the reports say, but based upon actual fact of where we are with the heating in the schools, the funding in the schools. If that's the real business right there. So tonight, you know, when we have this conversation, or at least when we think about all that has happened in our school system, I implore those who are in these leadership roles, whether you black, white, Asian, Latino, know the very depth and weight of the role and responsibility that you carry, and don't walk around on an entitled view with your chest puffed out, because you can't have a puffed out chest about how you are in charge of a school district that's falling apart. You can't. How? How can you say that you make a certain amount of money, more than the mayor, more than the state's attorney? The school should be based, the salary of the superintendent of schools should be based upon the performance, not based upon you coming in the door and then there's no performance measure. You can get a decent salary, live a decent life in the city of Baltimore, but it's got to be based upon results, proven results, a performance measure position. Not based on, hey, it's just you, so we're going to give you this money. No, it should be based, here's a salary, but per year, we're going to do an accountability. If we find that enrollment has increased, if we find that parent engagement has gone up, if we find that the infrastructure has improved, then we'll give you a raise. And that's going to be the way that you earn your living. Because if you come through the door and you're making a certain amount of money and you leave it entitled, Madam Superintendent, you feel like you deserve it. And none of us deserve any type of what's the best way to say it? We don't deserve any type of praise until we show that we are worthy of praise. And you want to know how to praise, how the praise look for Baltimore City Public Schools? Show that students are coming out better. Show that the buildings have been improved. You want to know what that looks like? Your leadership should reflect a district that's in love with learning and with love with education. Right now, we're not seeing that. So, that's my 2 cents. And I hope you're counting. And stay tuned. We're going to take a quick pause. Kenneth, Gene, Charlie O, we're going to go to your calls. I'll take your thoughts on it. Oh, we're talking about the school situation. And then we'll transition and talk about some other things. We got a lot that we want to get to tonight, but I certainly want to hear your thoughts. Stay with me. It's For the Culture right here on WEAA.
I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Man, oh man, oh man. We're going to get into it. I'm going to give you a few minutes, folks, just to chime in. Any thoughts that you want to share as we talk about the Baltimore City school situation? I'm looking at the leadership piece, though. That's what I'm looking at. My colleague, Dr. K, talked about so many issues, but the fact that we are at this place and the leadership is acting as if it's like, oh, well, it's not in our court. It was because of this and because of that. Oh, that's disappointing and insulting. It's insulting, as if none of us knew what was going on with the school situation has been in this city for the past 10 years. You can't tell me that. You can't tell me that, Dr. Sandalise. You knew that because you worked under Superintendent Alonzo. You can't tell me that. I'm so sorry. You can't use that. And it's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate that this city and our parents have to go through the stuff that just to get their child educated, which is a human right. That's a human right. That's not a privilege. That's a human right. And children are natural. They naturally want to learn. You see it from the time they, when you have a 3 or 4 year old, that's all they want to do. They want to learn. They want to read. They want to try new things. They are natural learners. And by the time they get to 14 and 15 and 16 and they tell them, I don't want to go to school, then what happened along that way? The human being is a natural learner, man. And it is the job of those who are stewards in the school system to cultivate that desire so they can want to naturally learn all the way up. There's no end to learning. So what is happening here? Why is the spirit of students being broken and the spirit of parents being disturbed? Because you know why? There's no peace in mind. There's no confidence. There's no trust in leadership. There's no trust in the school system and what the school system has to offer. Let's go to the lines, hear what you got to say. All right, Kenneth, thank you so much for your patience. Talk to me.
I like your 2 cent word for Roger. How you doing, my brother?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How are you?
I'll tell you something, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
Boy. You know, but it's a good thing. God works in mysterious ways, you know. It's a good thing it got cold and everything, you know, because it would have been business as usual, like I said before. You know, and try not to hang up on me because I'm only going to take a minute. I wish you would invite me on your show sometime because it's just not enough. But I got a lot to say. But look, let me say this. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Parents, closed-minded, you know, eyes are closed to the fact they're so busy working, but they're not taking the time out to see. I'm not saying all parents, the majority of parents. And because if nobody's there to mind the store, what's going to happen, Faraji?
I don't know. That's a good
somebody
point.
Going in that cash register,
yep.
Sure you know.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
It's about money, my brother. That's what this thing is. And these people are selling their soul. They don't care nothing about, you know, protocol. These people didn't come down there yesterday for no protocol meeting. They came down there peed off, you know. But you have to go, you know, then she's going to start crying. And I'm sure everybody heard all this. But I'm saying, how much money did you say that lady was making?
$298,000, Kenneth. She literally makes more than the mayor of the city and the state's attorney.
That's because there's nobody watching the store. There's no, what do you call it when you count the money? Nobody's counting the money. What is the word? I can't find it. Help me out. Nobody's counting the money that is sent to this city. Okay, they've been doing this for years. Okay,
they say, and
the mayor said, "Well, give me some of that money." And then somebody else is saying, "Well, give me some of that money." Everybody's trying to get some of that money. I'm not. Excuse me, mayor. I'm not going to say you. Yeah, not yet. But bad, but look what the last mayor did. She been getting all that good money. I mean, and then y'all get mad with me because I say I'm telling the truth. I got to tell the truth. You know I come hard.
Yeah. Hey, Kenneth, thank you so much for checking in. I really appreciate it. Gene, talk to me.
Am I on for Roger?
Yes, sir, you are.
Oh, yeah, she's getting paid because her experience is commensurate with her. I mean, she's, you know, her salary is commensurate with her experience.
Here's the thing, Gene.
No, hold on, man, that's a joke.
I'm about to say.
Thank you,
Roger. Hey, Gene, what experience? This is your first year as CEO.
That's what they get paid. All of them get paid. No, I don't know. That's not why I called, man.
Okay, go ahead, Gene. I'm going to let you finish. Yes,
I'm going to just be a little light with this.
Okay.
Okay, you're a pragmatist and I'm a pragmatist. We find ourselves in this situation in the here and now, right?
Right.
So whenever we have a problem, what we should do, just like I love Coach said, go back to the fundamentals, right?
Yeah.
So let's go back to the fundamentals. Let's go back to, you like Quentin Tarantino?
Oh, yes, sir.
Man, Quentin Tarantino always starts out with a pragmatist perspective, right?
Right.
And then later on in the movie, he goes back to how it started, right?
Yep.
How did this start? Brown versus the Board of Education and the remedy. What's the remedy, Faraji? Integration.
Mm.
Okay?
Yep.
Integration is the remedy. So to solve this problem, you have to be a minority, right? And so you want to integrate into the majority. And that's where we were. Now we are the majority. Different perspective. We don't have the tools to solve our problems integrating because we have nobody to integrate with, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. People, get your history books out, go online, do some research on Brown versus the Board of Education, and you'll see that that's where all our problems lie.
Wow.
We need a new remedy.
And you know what? That's a great reference point and a good place to start. And that's a good place to start. But here's my thing. Here's what I'm saying. And we got to take our first pause. The thing is, I'm not of the mindset or the school of thought that we destroy the school system, you know, because there is no alternative for where we are right now. There is no alternative. So we got to figure out a way for us to deal with the current system and to either evolve the system in some way, shape, or form until there's an alternative, right? Even charter school, independent schools, to some degree, you're still under the Maryland State Department of Education. You're still under the Baltimore City School District. We understand that. What I'm saying at this point is that we need to figure out how we're going to move forward with some level of leadership that's going to be more inclusive of and more compassionate, to the parents and to the students and to the teachers and to all of those who make the school system great. That's what I'm at this point. Compassion. Where's the heart? Where's the love? We'll continue to take your calls on the other side. We only did it the first 30. Ride with me for the next 30 right here on For the Culture. Charlie Yo, Linda, Thomas, Charles, Valerie, thank you so much for chiming in. We'll take your calls in a few minutes. It's For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community.
I do this for my culture.
Peace, welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad, talking about just kind of trying to figure out, just reacting to what has happened last night and continuing the conversation about the Baltimore City schools. Let's go back to the lines, hear what you have to say. Charlie O, thank you for your patience. What's your question and your thoughts?
Hey, how you doing? I'm doing it for the culture. First of all, I'm going to give my suggestion. I'm a special engineer in first grade, and I'm also part of the Morgan staff here.
Fantastic.
I've been here since 21 years.
Beautiful.
Now, girlfriend sitting up there standing grinning because she getting paid while everybody's getting paid. First of all, your anger is misdirected. She knows that. Your anger should be at the infrastructure, at the maintenance department, that's where it should be. You should have whoever is in charge of maintenance supervisor, the engineering chief, the design engineer, they should be the ones called to the carpet, period. You guys are directing your anger at the administrators. That's good. However, there are people that ask to them to keep up the infrastructure, and they are the engineers and the maintenance personnel. That's where your anger should be directed.
And you know what? And you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right, Charlie. One of the things, though, what I've learned is, and I appreciate you checking in, and you're right. And I'm just saying, I'm using the leadership, the administration as a whole. And I'm including, let's include the engineers. Let's include the contractors. Let's include the maintenance workers. Let's include all of them. Because as a leader, if your job is to make sure that the system, the buildings are up to par and all of those things, but most importantly, if you want to be the leader, be the leader. That's it. It's just be the leader. All right, Linda, talk to me. Thank you for your patience. What are your thoughts?
Hi, good evening, and how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
And I am blessed, and I just want to congratulate you because every word you've spoken out of your mouth was showing up fact. And I just want to say that, you know, there's too many people with titles and large salaries that's not, you know, that's being paid for jobs that they are not doing. But if you thought the cleanup woman was bad, baby, you ain't seen nothing yet because God is pulling the covers off of anything and everything that's not right. But look, let's stop and think about this. Suppose those teachers that exposed the situation had not exposed the situation and put it out there.
You're right.
Those children were sitting up in classrooms freezing with hats, coats, hat scarves, and gloves.
Yep.
And were still freezing.
Yep.
And a lot of them are probably sick right today.
Yep.
But with the temperatures that we was dealing with, they were very dangerous.
You know what, Linda? And I appreciate you for checking in, and I thank you so much. You are absolutely right. Big shout out to all of the teachers. And I know it's a hard, hard job being a teacher in the school, in this particular school district, because you can't really speak out on a lot of things, or some things. I mean, if you're protected by the union, so you do have the right to speak out on it, but you have limited resources. And so you have to use various platforms. You got to be creative to have your voice heard when you see an injustice happening within the system. And look, folks, let me just be very clear about my position on this thing. This is, again, this is not about an anarchist type of position of tear everything down, let's build it everything up. I'm not at that place yet, and that's not even realistic. What I am clear about is us having a real conversation about what do we do so we don't go through another 10 years of this type of riffraff that we're currently seeing right now. I mean, let's be honest. I had a caller that told me yesterday that this situation with the school has been going on since the 60s. How many years do we have to go? How many years do we have to be really concerned or truly involved? How many years have to go by before we truly get our hands dirty to make some changes in the school system? All right, let's go back to the lines. Thomas, talk to me.
Hey, my friend.
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Man, we're blessed and highly favored this day. Listen. Yesterday was the first day that black people called her out on the carpet, which is why she was shedding those fake crocodile tears yesterday, okay? And we have to get that, I have to get that out the way, too. Now, what I also need to tell you, Faraji, she was not the best qualified superintendent for schools. She's never been a superintendent for schools. She was the best one to cover up and take care of to cover up and continue what Alonzo started.
Mm.
Okay, she had to finish what Alonzo started, which is right. Why she got that job. She was never qualified for that job. So if you say we have to have business as usual, okay?
Right.
Then wouldn't you have the best qualified person there, or somebody who's going to be best qualified to continue what you started?
That's Thomas, that's a no-brainer.
So, I mean, people complain about her job. This woman's salary is worth $1.4 million. At $298,000 a year times 6-year salary, she's on a 6-year salary.
Hmm.
That's about $1.4 million for Raji. Now, if you get rid of her, you still got to pay her that. You know? And I look at her today standing up there with the mayor in her red and white, okay? What sorority is red and white?
The Deltas.
Thank you. There you go.
Gotcha. And Thomas, thank you so much for checking in. We appreciate it. Darren, talk to me, brother.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
You know, I was trying to get in where I fit in what I get in last night, right?
Darren, we were going back and forth trying to get everything on last night.
Yeah. Well, there was so much coming at us, so that's what you got to do. You got to do, as Dr. King said, have a redistribution of the pressure, redistribution of the pain.
Yeah.
And that's what Santelizzi and some of these bureaucrats and technocrats have not had. When you do that, you're going to see some other pipes burst, the humankind, you understand? And so if that's called their command center, they should be able to take some commands and demands from the public. And they didn't do that. When you have children that's in lead-infested, high levels of lead still in the water, they can't drink at a fountain,
right?
Can't take showers, right? Not to mention what they got to cook with, right? This is a human rights issue, but where's the city health commissioner, right? Where's the EPA? Where's your state senators like Joan Carter Conway that sits over health, education, and environmental affairs? This has gone on too long. And for Santelizzi to get upset about not being able to acknowledge two people over the too many children that's in dangerous condition shows how juvenile. She was acting more like a parking lot attendant instead of a superintendent last night. And I just thank you for piping in the information for the public to be able to hear that for themselves. But let's put it where the goat can get it. Because as I said before, that there was a brother by the name of Richard Donald who was an analyst inside of the Baltimore City Public School System years ago. You can Google his name. But most of the Sun paper has gone and purchased, like, Examiner's and the City paper, and they've erased a lot of information that occurred 10 years ago. But that brother was a whistleblower and exposed the fact that you had contractors, as I mentioned before. And these contractors, Faraji, even though they were found guilty, the only thing they've done is went out the front door and came back in the back door or trap door. And this is why you need an audit. This is why you need transparency. And you'll find out that Eric Letzinger, who at that time was working under Martin O'Malley and Bonnie Copeland, is back in the Baltimore City public school system.
And you know what's, interesting?
What makes you think he's not corrupt now?
Here's the interesting part. When I got to the school board meeting around about 8:30, there was a gentleman that did a presentation to the board to say that the board needed to revise its policy on whistleblowers as it deals with fiduciary responsibility.
Right.
And in that presentation, it was a quick 5-minute presentation. It was 3/4 of the room was, well, it was probably like half of the room was not there. But in the presentation, he made the point that whistleblowers and those who speak out against any type of injustice that individual may see in dealing with fiscal irresponsibility within the school system, that they're not protected.
No. Yep.
Brother There's Richard no Donald policy was, to protect was, the whistleblower.
No. Richard Donald was stripped of his job and ended up having to move to Denver, Colorado. And later, a few months later, had a stroke, which, of course, was due to all of the stresses that he was dealing with inside of the Baltimore City Public School System headquarters. But history, of course, vindicates him and others. But let me say this, because we need a court injunction. The time is of the essence right now, that you have to do some things that you normally wouldn't do in order to give our children justice. And you need court injunctions. And this is what disturbs me or disappoints me about former Delegate Jill Carter. She knows. Dr. Tyrone Powers, who was around here a couple of months ago talking about he should be given a consent decree monitoring contract. But he knew, as a member of Children First, he knew that he couldn't get lawyers in Baltimore because they're so politically connected. He got lawyers from D.C., and they went to court and filed a court injunction so that you could have those water fountains cut off and plastic bags put over the water fountains. So all I'm saying, if you did it before, why not step up and do it now if we truly love our children? See, I don't have any cut cards. That's why I don't have a problem calling names and, when necessary, name calling, brother. But if we truly love our children, then we would go to court and force all of those schools where there's no heat to be shut down until they can be, of course, repaired and put our children back in the schools. And if they got to find another alternative for the children, let's find an alternative. But it can be done. You wouldn't do this to animals at the zoo. You would move those animals out of that habitat. You would look out for the primates more than you're looking out for the little classmates of our children right now. Wow. So that becomes an indictment, as you said, on leadership in the city, black, brown, red, yellow, and white, and the civil rights organizations, that this is a violation of our children's civil rights because all of this entire system gets federal dollars. So if you're getting federal dollars, then you gotta be respecting the rights of our children inside of the public school system.
That is.
As I heard your previous caller mention, it wasn't about Brown versus the Board of Education. Here's a homework assignment. You should Google Briggs versus Elliott, because Brown versus Board was not even the case. The case was Briggs versus Elliott, which came out of South Carolina.
Darren Hammond, right? Thank you so much, brother, for checking in. Always insightful. Court injunction. Is that where we are right now? All right, Valerie, talk to me. Thank you for your patience. What are your thoughts?
Thank you, Faraji.
You're welcome.
I wanted to add something. I spoke on this yesterday. But you know what I recall in listening to all the previous callers who are, again, very, like you said, very insightful. Nothing's changed in the Baltimore City schools. As I recall, my daughter went to a public school, and 16 years ago, she's now a civil engineer. Mm. When she was in school, the water fountains were closed plastic over them at that time. You know, my daughter caught mono. And let me tell you how. The kids didn't, they shared water bottles.
Ooh,
and
wow.
She thought, and their thinking was, is if I put my finger on my lip and I rest the bottle against my finger, we can drink. They were thirsty. They shared water bottles.
Wow.
So
and, you said this, and you said this happened 16 years ago.
16 years ago.
Wow.
And we went up to the school, and I had a discussion with them. You know, it's like the kids, all they did was told the kids to stop sharing water bottles. They didn't do anything about the water fountain. They didn't care. And in this, it's something, it's a travesty that we're still going through this. But what I'm calling to say is that we're all fired up. We're all upset. And I'm asking you, what are we going to do? How are we going to keep this going? How are we going to start a movement that will assure that this doesn't die down and go away, and 16 years later we're having this conversation again?
You know, that's a great question, Valerie. And one of the big things that I've learned in terms of organizing is that if there are going to be any one of us that are going to decide to start working together, and it doesn't have to necessarily be meetings, but if there is, since we are at this emotional crisis point, then we should start to come together. Like there's going to be that big meeting on January 22nd, and put some demands in. What are the demands? What are we asking for?
Okay.
We have brilliant minds like yourself and many others that call into this show and to my colleague's show, Dr. K, and you know what you want.
Okay.
So put that on paper, because if there's going to be a meeting about addressing the concerns of the public, then the public should have a clear understanding about what is it that they want. What is the vision that you have for Baltimore City Public Schools?
Exactly.
And then once we get to that meeting and look at what the vision is, then the conversation is going to naturally, organically flow. Well, okay, who is of the brightest? Who? Okay, if we're talking about maintenance, if we're talking about curriculum, if we're talking about materials, who in this particular group is able to connect us to resources? Who is the best person or most qualified person? The leadership starts to emerge from the people and not appointed by those who are already in leadership.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Yep.
So let's be very clear and very intentional about what is our demand. What do you want to see from Baltimore City Public Schools? We've said enough about what we don't want to see.
Right.
But the harder part is, okay, so what is it that you do want to see? And your mind and my mind and all of us, we are critical thinkers enough for us to just not say, oh, I just want a better school. Well, what does that look like?
Yeah.
We want more windows. We want a better lunch menu.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those type of things. And you can, there's no law stopping citizens and parents and staff and students, black, white, Asian, Latino, from coming together to working in tandem with one another to build coalitions for the betterment of our schools. There's no law stopping that. There's no law stopping us from constantly asking school officials and those in leadership positions, Where's the money coming from? Where's the money going to? There's no law against that.
Right. I agree. And the teachers made me so proud last night. I was just so impressed by them. So
absolutely.
Proud of them.
Absolutely.
We're going to organize on January 22nd when we gather together in that meeting.
Yes,
ma'am.
Thank you
so much for IV.
You're welcome, Valerie. Thank you. Thank you. Let's go to Cheryl. Cheryl, thank you so much for your patience. What are your thoughts? Talk to me.
Hi, I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, welcome, Cheryl. So happy to have you on that show.
I just wanted to say this is a call to action for all, because what we really need is a business plan, because the school system is a business, and the business plan, as we all know, starts on a weekly basis, a daily basis, a monthly basis, a quarterly basis, a yearly basis. And everything needs to start with them telling us what monies are allocated, where the monies are going, what schools are getting what, why, and not penalizing the teachers for things that they cannot control.
Mm.
But the CEO is not being penalized for things that she can't control.
Mm. And see, here's the thing, Cheryl. Maybe part of that is that there are certain individuals that everybody can play a role in this thing, right? The problems are big enough that everybody can find a way to fit in where they
get
it.
Right, and what I'm saying is this, that we can have business leaders come in
sure.
and show them how to change their business plan, because obviously the business plan is not working. It hasn't worked in 10 years, 15 years,
absolutely.
20 years, 25 years.
Absolutely.
When I graduated from Baltimore City Public Schools, we were using books that my uncle used in the 60s.
Wow.
Their names were in the books.
Oh,
remember how
Lord.
The books used to have a little piece of paper you signed.
Yes,
their
like
name?
The library card type of book.
Yes.
You had to sign out the books.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness.
They had the people's names from the 60s on the paper. When you rip the papers back to see how long the book's been in circulation.
Right.
But let me tell you, I went to one of the better schools in the city. So if I had those books, my comrades who went to other schools didn't have books to take home.
Mm.
So if that was happening in 1983, 4, and 5, what's going on now?
Same thing.
And the children don't have books to take home.
Nope.
Schools are cold. The meals are poor nutrition.
Oh, my Lord,
yeah. Where's the nutritionist in the school system? What part of your business plan has nutritionists planning out meals that are acceptable for children to eat, which they will eat, so there'd be the least amount of waste?
Absolutely. Hey, Cheryl, I think, do you plan to be at the meeting on the 22nd?
I will try to be at the meeting on the 22nd, but I believe I don't get off to 6 o'clock. That's the other thing. The meetings are always, to me at times, when they don't think
Cheryl, you know it's Baltimore. Ain't no meeting going to end at 6, from 6 to 8. You know how that meeting go. They said that meeting last night was going to end at a certain time. You know how that meeting go.
But so I think they also should bring into consideration that people on the school board should also be people from different walks of life. You should not say, well, my friend Lisa needs to be on here because she's on this committee with me.
Right.
Well, all of y'all have committee mindsets. You don't have the mindset of the people in
Ooh.
The building.
Hey, Cheryl, I'm going to stop you right there because I got to get to my other calls. But that right there is gold. Committee mindsets. Wow. You love being on committees, but your committee ain't doing no work. Man, Tempest, thank you for your patience. What are your thoughts?
Hey, what's going on for Roger?
Yes, sir.
I'm not even going to get on my soapbox and get on this finger point thing. Look,
thank you.
Let's get everybody to put their actions where their mouth is. Let's go off of a referendum. Let's get 12 people together. Let's meet either up at the station or pick our own spot. Let's get us a chair. Let's get us an account manager. Let's get us a secretary. Let's get us a trustee. Let's get us a board principal. Let's get us a funds officer. Let's get us an investment officer. And let's go ahead and peep at the educational fund, the rainy day fund, the Baltimore City School funds, and let's create our own investment staff. Let's stop all this cackling and talking about what color they had on and how many tears they cried and this and that. And let's everybody put their actions where their mouth is.
Yes, sir.
Let's do this next week. Let's meet at the station for all us out there who want to get on our soapboxes tonight, because I'm to the point, I'm tired of talking. That's all I got to say.
Hey, Tempest, I appreciate you checking in. I definitely do. Donna, talk to me.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Donna?
Pretty good. Everybody has some good pointers. I think two things. I think, you know, we need to, you know, because of the school construction issues that the city had for so long, they put that under the Maryland Stadium Authority, and that's going smoothly. My recommendation is to put facilities management, maintenance and management under the Maryland Stadium Authority as well, until we can get, you know, until we can get all the schools that have plumbing and heating and air issues resolved, because right now we're not capable, our school system, our school board is not capable of managing it, and whoever was responsible for the facilities management did not do a good job. Like one of the ladies a couple calls back, it's about a paycheck. I'm a facilities manager, supervisor, and they got the paycheck, but they didn't make sure that these boilers that these schools have are working. It just doesn't make sense. We have the governor's mansion, and we have several buildings in the state house that are way older than these schools put together.
It is.
And they keep those heat on. They keep the plumbing and the heat and everything upgraded. So what happened? Who dropped the ball? They need all to be fired. I would like to see it right now, for until we get all the furnaces and everything up to par and the plumbing that connected to it, I'd like to see it put under the Maryland Stadium Authority to make sure all these schools are operating when it comes to heat and everything. And that's my recommendation. And thanks so much.
Hey, Donna, thank you so much. Great recommendation. And you know what? There are many folks that are listening tonight. If you know organizations or some company that is working in this type of with this expertise, whether it's in management or budget or educational reform, then this is the time to start talking. This is the time to reach out to those folks and get, even if they're from outside of the city of Baltimore, this Baltimore is once again back in the spotlight for not so good reasons. And I don't know about you, but I know for me, I'm tired of having my hometown being always showcased as Sharon Osbourne said on The Talk. Did you hear this? She said that we're living in third world conditions. I think I want to play that clip of what Sharon had to say just to give you some insight how big this situation really is. Let's hear what she had to say.
I feel bad for the children. I feel bad for the parents sending their children to this school.
It is third world conditions.
How can a child concentrate?
That's right.
With that coat on, with their coats on and shivering. And how can the teachers do their job? Why is this happening?
Well, they're
terrible.
Underpaid anyway. That's right.
This is the conversation they having on The Talk. That we're living in third world conditions in Baltimore City. Oh, man. All right, Charles, talk to me.
The school district contains more than 160 buildings. The oldest, from the oldest buildings in the state, more than six decades of aging infrastructure. And that's going to cost about close to, or probably more than $1 trillion to replace that infrastructure. And until that infrastructure is replaced, the heating problems are still going to be there. Now,
right.
Here's the question. We know already that Santa Lisa does not have that much money in her budget.
Right.
So the question is, the complaints need to be directed at the people who have the money, the state and the federal government, to replace this infrastructure.
All right, there we go. We're going to take it for right. Charles, I got to let you go because we are pressed up against time. I'm going to get Alan real quick, and then Lauren will be the final word. Alan, yes, sir.
Hello.
Hi.
Is it? My first thing is we need to petition get our Annapolis representatives to begin the push to get the Baltimore school system back in Baltimore City. The control of that. And that's number one.
Yep.
Number two, you need to start firing the people in the maintenance department. Somebody don't know what they're doing, or they dropped the ball in contracting.
There we go.
Contracting takes time and specifics.
All right, Alan. Thank you so much for chatting in. Lauren, you got the final word. I like that. Going to Annapolis, the session has just started. Lauren, talk to me.
All right, well, I'm ready to get arrested over this because I will walk into a school, name the school that's worse off, and I'll walk in there with a wrench, and I'll rip out the pipes myself if I have to. But, that's what it takes is, like, we need to not say, oh, we need, why aren't these people fixing the problems? But, like you said, like leadership, you want leaders? Be a leader. Stand up. Walk into the school physically and fix the problem. You're not going in there and hurting kids or doing anything negative. You're trying to change the infrastructure of the building. Unless you do that first, you can't even talk about education, because that would be great if we could focus on education right now, but we can't. because there's human needs that aren't being met. Woo. Water, food,
woo,
warmth.
Woo. Lauren, you touch it on it. You touch it on it. Yeah, no, I hear you. And if we get to that place, Lauren, I don't want to get you arrested. I understand the frustration. I don't want you to go in no school with no big wrench.
You said you don't want to go and go into anarchy. Like, I get it. Like, I don't want to be an anarchist either. But, like, I have hands, and here I am using them to work all day, making food for some place for other people, rich people to buy. Like, you know, and, like, when my hands could be doing something else. I have it in my heart. It's just, how do I put my hands there? I just walk into the school, right? Nope, I'll get arrested. Fine, but at least maybe that will get people. We have to wake up more people right now. And it does have to be a national issue. It has to be big, and it can't be forgotten about, and it can't be just looked over. I know we got to go to the next topic, but that's the issue. We got to stay on this. Somebody has to stay on this and get in there and do the thing.
We will. Lauren, thank you so much for checking in. We will. Trust me, we will. Folks, we got to take a quick pause when we come back. More, so much more to talk about. Stay with us. You're tuning into For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. We'll just get ready for the next 60 because you don't know what could be said. But we're going to bring our wrench. Stay with us.